My name is Robert Korst. I'm a thoracic surgeon, and I am the head of thoracic surgery at the Valley Hospital in Ridgewood, New Jersey. I am the director of surgical services for the Valley / Mount Sinai Cancer Care.
We're talking today with surgeon Dr. Robert Korst of Valley Hospital about robotic lung surgery today. Now, you specialize in lung and esophageal cancer surgery and so much more. Let's begin by talking about, first of all, how common lung cancer is. You seem to be hearing about it more and more these days. Are you seeing more cases?
Yes, there's no question about it. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death for Americans. And the reason for that is that lung cancer is usually diagnosed in late stages when it's incurable. And we can intervene for patients that we discover have lung cancer when they're in early stages. And the number one way that we intervene is usually with removing the tumor surgically.
You do hear, though, about so many people who have never smoked a day in their life, and yet they have lung cancer. Why is that?
Yeah, I think that's because to get many types of cancer, including lung cancer, there's usually an environmental risk and a genetic risk. And so there are some folks who will smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day their whole life and never get lung cancer. And then there are some who will never smoke and do get lung cancer. And it's just variable contributions of their environmental risk and their genetic risk.
Do you use robotic surgery on most of your lung cancer patients?
Yes. So technology in all of surgery, including thoracic surgery and lung cancer surgery, has progressed markedly over the last 10 to 20 years. And it went from traditional, what we call open surgery, which is larger incisions, getting the hands inside the chest and operating, to what we call minimally invasive approaches. And the first minimally invasive approach that came around was just inserting a camera through a small incision and some long, thin instruments into the chest and doing an operation. And now technology has evolved where we actually have surgical robots that are much more sophisticated doing surgery through small incisions. And this is the way the field of minimally invasive surgery is moving. So for the vast majority of operations I do on the chest now, I use robotic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Now, who's a good candidate for robotic surgery?
That has to do a lot with the expertise of the surgeon, okay? Mm-hmm. So there is a learning curve to learn how to use the surgical robot. And as you would expect, surgeons usually start out doing more routine type, simpler cases, and then they start to advance to more complex types of surgery. And it depends where the surgeon is on that learning curve. So there are some surgeons who have just started their robotic experience, and there are some that have been doing it for many years and can do fairly complex work with the robot as opposed to making a larger incision. And therein lies the big advantages of the robot. It allows us to offer a minimally invasive approach to patients that would otherwise get a large incision.
Is surgery a good bet on any kind of lung cancer?
So lung cancer that is advanced, meaning spread throughout the body, is treated with medications. Mm-hmm. Very early lung cancer, so usually stage 1 and 2, is usually treated with removing it surgically. And then middle stage, stage 3, is usually treated with different types of modalities. So that would include chemotherapy, radiation, and even still potentially surgery at that point as well. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. The earlier stages are the ones that are most amenable to removing it surgically.
If you use surgery, would you then also use chemo and radiation, or would that forego the need for that?
So most early stage patients do not need any chemotherapy or radiation therapy. There are some, though, that will be in some stages like stage 2 and larger tumors in stage one that may require some post-operative chemotherapy. But radiation is usually not indicated unless the surgeon is unable to remove all of the disease.
So this may be repetitive if it has spread to lymph nodes.
But even if we can remove it, if the lymph nodes are involved, patients will usually get chemotherapy, even if the tumor is completely removed.
I see. What sorts of screening do you suggest for people to get so that they do detect lung cancer early enough?
Several years back, the results of a large lung cancer screening trial using computed tomography or CT scanning were published, and we found that we are reducing mortality from lung cancer by screening high-risk patients using computed tomography. And so there are actually national guidelines now about who ought to be screened using CT scans, and it has to do with your age and your smoking history. So it's something that everyone who is, you know, now in their 50s or older should be discussing with their doctor, especially if they've smoked in the past or current smokers.
You mentioned genetics. Is there anything you can do or find out genetically that might help?
Yeah, so lung cancer is a disease where there is yet to be a very specific lung cancer gene, but clearly lung cancer runs in families, and in actuality, the patients who are at the highest risk to get lung cancer are those who have had it before. So I have a large population of patients that I see on a routine basis, and I may have cured them of their lung cancer many years ago, but they are still at risk to get another lung cancer independent of the first one. So it's not all worked. The genetics are not all worked out yet.
Yeah. To bounce back a little bit to robotic surgery, what is the recovery like from robotic surgery? Is it less than if you actually go into the chest with your hands?
Yes, therein lies one of the great advantages of minimally invasive surgery, including the robot, and that is the usual amount of time that a patient would spend in the hospital with an open operation is 5 days or perhaps even a little bit more. However, most of our robotic patients, we can get out of the hospital in 2 days. And the reason for that is that the robot allows us to be very, very precise in when we're actually doing the technical aspect of the procedure. And in addition to that, the very small incisions, patients, you know, get back to their lives faster. They get back to their jobs faster. When they go home from the hospital in 2 days, they're fully functional. So there's a lot of advantages.
Do you ever worry about the actual robotics themselves? I imagine that isn't your wheelhouse, that you have to do anything to bring the robot up to speed before you begin an operation. But do you check it out like you would an airplane or something, go over the robotics before you do an operation?
We don't do that on every case, but there are protocols for maintenance of the robot and for checks.
Yeah.
And so these are all done with the manufacturer of the robot. There's a lot of diligence that takes place there.
I would imagine. Anything else, doctor, that you want to add or underline that I may not have asked you?
So it is possible to do minimally invasive lung surgery, as you know, with other types of minimally invasive surgery without the robot. And we call that straight stick surgery, okay? Oh. Meaning that we use long, skinny instruments to do that. But one of the main advantages of the robot is that the instruments are wristed. So when I say wristed, what I mean is that they have an extra joint on them, and so we can be technically much more precise using the robot than we could in the past using minimally invasive approaches for lung cancer.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you do anything in particular to get ready when you're working on a robotic surgery, or is it just another day at the office now that you've been doing this for a while?
Well, I think a lot of it is another day at the office, you know, because we've done it for a while.
Yes.
However, I will say that with any minimally invasive surgery, and it can be on the lung or anywhere else, since we don't actually get our hands into the patient,
yes,
I spend a lot of extra time making sure I understand all the preoperative imaging. Okay, to make sure that I know if there are any abnormal anatomical variations. You know, in the days of open surgery, you know, we could operate on a patient, and a lot of times, you know, we would figure that out when we kind of got in there, okay? But nowadays, since I don't have my hands in the chest, I pay a lot more attention to, you know, the anatomy on the preoperative imaging and, you know, any anatomic variations ahead of time. And you also have to understand that imaging in the year 2019 is far better than it was 20 years ago, and so it allows us to do that. You know, 20 years ago or in the 1990s, the preoperative imaging wasn't anywhere near as technologically outstanding as it is now.
What do you see in the future for lung cancer surgery and robotics in general?
The robot every year becomes more technologically advanced. And when the robot really started a decade ago for lung surgery, instrumentation was somewhat limited. The engineering behind some of the instruments had not been worked out yet. And you know, as the months and years go on, more and more sophisticated robotic instruments come out that enable us to do things that we could never do before. And I think that's just going to continue to happen as time goes on.
Well, you've been fascinating, as you always are. Thank you so much for taking the time to do the interview.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay.